Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2011. We are starting the new year off right with our first guest, Diane Conklin. And Diane is an internationally known marketing and business strategist. She is also an author, an entrepreneur, a coach, consultant, speaker, and direct response marketing expert. For 13 years, she has specialized in showing entrepreneurs and small business owners how to integrate their marketing strategies, media, and methods to get maximum results from their marketing dollars. And she does this through direct response marketing strategies and various media outlets. Diane is also applying those proven strategies to help others build their businesses and make money with social media marketing. How to make money with social media in 27 minutes or less a day is one of her signature programs that helps businesses and business owners achieve success with social media. And one of the other hugely successful programs she has recently developed is a done-for-you social media management program. Diane and her team actually do the social media for you and your company. Diane has been involved in marketing campaigns that have grossed over $1 million in sales many times throughout her career. Through her company, Complete Marketing Systems, she helps entrepreneurs and small business owners grow their companies to the next level. She was also named Information Marketer of the Year for 2010 and 2011, for her outstanding work in the field of social media and showing others how to make money with this media. Exciting stuff. So good morning, Diane, and welcome to the show, and Happy New Year.
Well, good morning and Happy New Year to you. I'm glad to be here and happy and excited to share some social media strategies with your listeners.
Well, thank you. Listen, I consider myself a little bit of an expert. I don't know if that's an oxymoron, a little bit of an expert. It probably is. But as you and I both know, there's always something new to learn, and I am here, honestly, to learn from you. So tell us what you do. Do you mind sharing a little bit of your story and how you got to do where you are and how you're doing what you're doing now?
Sure, I'd be happy to. You know, way back when I grew up in Ohio on a 75-acre farm, which is one of those things that you don't find many people these days when you talk to people that grew up on a farm. But always had a huge work ethic, and a few years back had an opportunity to actually go work for an entrepreneur and a direct mail or a direct response guy who did a lot of events and things for free for a year for no pay. And he offered me a chance to intern. I was in my 30s and picked up everything sight unseen and whatever would fit in the back of the pickup. Went from Atlanta, Georgia at the time to a little place called Merritt Island, Florida, Cape Canaveral, Florida area, Cocoa Beach, and lived again like I was in college, left the house, the dogs, the business, everything, the relationship and all that. And for a year actually worked in this guy's office to really learn the information marketing business and really direct response marketing. And so sort of everything has sort of happened from there. You know, when we talk about social media, what we're really talking about is a media. It's not it's not a business. It's not anything. It's just a media, just like radio, just like newspaper, just like direct mail, internet. They're just media. And so what we've really done is taken all the direct response strategies that we've learned over the years and through some, you know, a lot of seminars and a lot of education and a year of of working for free, and really just applied that, you know, to this still relatively new media. I think the other interesting thing, Denise, that you'll find interesting, and I hope the listeners do, is that, you know, 2.5 years ago, I was one of the biggest staunchest, no, I'm not getting into social media, I'm not doing this, it's a waste of time, it's just one more thing to do kind of people that there was until I had somebody that I really, really respected in the industry that was also a direct response person said, you know, Diane, you really need to take a look at this because there's opportunities here and you're really going to be missing out if you miss this one. And so, as they say, you know, the rest is sort of history. We've just developed new programs and new systems and that sort of thing, really based on what our clients and are telling us that they want and what people, you know, at events and things are talking about and have tried to, you know, to service people that way.
Right. You know, it's odd that you should say that because I had a conversation with, he's kind of a new client, kind of an old client yesterday. We did some work for him several years ago. And at the time, I think it was about 3 years ago, and I kept saying, you need to get, I know you're on Facebook, but you need to start blogging. No, I'm not going to do it. Don't want to do it. I don't have time. He's like, you know, I know better now. Where do we start? Well, let me tell you. And it's not going to be painless.
Well, but, you know, I think
a lot of people just didn't want to do it, and now they're saying, oh, my goodness, why didn't they want to do it?
Yeah, but, you know, I think the point to that is that it's not too late, you know, to get started today. You know, about, well, it's one of the big questions that we get asked a lot is, well, I'm not active now. Is it too late? Have I missed the, you know, have I missed the train kind of thing? And the answer is absolutely not. I think social media is here. It's here to stay. And I think it's big now, and I think it's only going to get bigger. So if you are somebody who's sort of held out and isn't actively using it, you know, it's certainly not too late to get on and really start making money with, which is really my big focus. Is it's great to be on social media. It's great to, you know, to go on there and have fun and meet with people and all that. But the real key to it is just like anything else that you're doing in your business is you want to be on there making money and having a return on your investment.
Well, and we're going to go deep into that because that's one of the things I think that really escapes a lot of people. Because they say, well, you know, I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm just spinning my wheels. I hear that a lot, and I know you do. But I'm just spinning my wheels. What am I doing wrong?
Yeah.
So I would love for you to kind of chat about that a little bit. But before we go too deep into that, Diane, what are some of the reasons, you know, the good, solid business reasons why we should be involved in social media today?
You know, Denise, it's a great question, and I tell people there are really three main reasons to be involved, and you'll see once I get all three of them in, these are not in necessarily the order, any specific order, but the first one is visibility, and we'll laugh when I'm finished, but visibility. So when you go on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn or any of the other social media platforms that you're on, and you begin to post, it gives you great visibility with people, your friends, your followers. And I think the big point is their friends and followers, because as things get posted and people comment on things, it shows up in their profiles and on their walls. So the reach that you have with this is really something that people, you know, don't put enough emphasis on. But visibility from your post and then visibility from search engine optimization. One of the things that sort of people get lost a little bit with is that, you know, Google loves Facebook and Twitter. It loves when you go in and post. And so you can immensely increase your visibility simply by being smart with your post and putting your keywords and the things that you're doing that are drawing people to you and the search engines and that kind of thing. It's a huge, huge, huge way for, you know, really very inexpensive. I'm not one who says social media is free because you do have your time involved, but, you know, you're not going out doing Google AdWords and those kinds of things. It's a search engine optimization function. It really amazingly can increase your visibility. So that's the first reason. The second reason is credibility. And, you know, I think people, especially if you don't feel like you're an expert in your arena or in your niche or in your area, you know, you very easily with social media can gain this expert status. Because I always tell people, if you know 10% more than somebody else, you're an expert in their eyes. And so as you begin to give people good content and you begin to post great information and send people to your websites and to your blogs and those kinds of things, your YouTube channels, it's amazing how quickly you gain this expert status and people follow you and want to know and begin to ask you questions. So the third reason, which this is why I said they're in no specific order, is making money. I mean, as I said, this is right, I would have put that one first, but I don't want everybody to know immediately that I was a huge capitalist. But
come on.
But making money, I mean, let's face it, if you're going to use a media, social media, direct mail, whatever the media is that you're using, you're out there for business purposes, you need to be making money with it. And so those are really the three reasons that people need to be involved in social media today for their businesses.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned Google AdWords, because I have a client that has been using Google AdWords for a long time, and they finally weaned him off simply by replacing it with strong social media strategies.
Yep. Yeah,
you no longer have to pay that $500 or $1,000 a month for Google AdWords. You know, the traffic is now coming to him organically.
Yeah, and you know, it's an interesting discussion, because one of the things that we talk a lot about in our company and with our clients is something that we call integrated marketing strategies. And so we really like this idea of doing multiple things. And so, you know, it might make sense for somebody to stop doing Google AdWords because they're doing social media. It might just be that that's an additional stream of new clients, and traffic for them is the social media. So they add it to what they're already doing. It really would depend on, you know, obviously the situation. You know more about the client than I do, but, you know, every situation is going to be different. But, you know, I, for one, am a big believer in, you know, traffic. Not all traffic is created equal, and so traffic from different places might result in, you know, more income, more sales, higher ticket items, that kind of thing. So it certainly is a valid point.
Well, he was happy with it, and he's replaced the traffic. So in his instance, it did work.
Yep.
Now, I wouldn't recommend that for everybody.
Exactly.
But it did work, and we tested it and tested it and tested it.
Yep.
And finally, we just said, well, we're going to shut down Google AdWords.
For
about a month.
Yep.
It's fine.
Good.
We're still looking at it. We haven't just said, oh, we're done. But, you know, it's just it's been an interesting process.
Yep. And like everything, you know, that you do in marketing, whether it's social media, Google AdWords, direct mail, whatever it is, you test and measure so that you know the results, and that's what enables you to make, you know, educated decisions.
Absolutely. Do you have any interesting or little-known facts about social media that you can share with us? Anything fun?
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing when you start to look at some of these things and how quickly these things change. So Twitter, for example, doubles in size every 90 days. So there are currently 75 million members on Twitter. Now, when you think about that, it's, you know, would you like your business to double in size in a year, let alone every 90 days? I mean, it's pretty staggering. Facebook, they currently have 500 million members, and that grows by another 500,000 every day. That's a 10% increase every single day on Facebook. Again, I'd like my business to grow 10% this month. This year, 10% every day. So the numbers, when you think about from a business perspective, the impact that has the potential of having on your business, it's huge. The numbers of people that you can now talk to, that you can get in front of, that can hear your message. YouTube has 141 million videos stored there. That's more, Denise, than ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox combined. Those are our big four, right? Those are our big four TV stations. There's more videos on YouTube today than there are in all of those channels. A couple other things I think are interesting. The average person right now is reading 6 blogs a day. You just want one of those to be yours.
Or two.
People between the ages of 18 and 34 are spending 40% of their free time on social media networks. 40% of their free time. So, and I know what some of you are thinking. Well, people from between 18 and 34 aren't my target market. Okay, let's try this. Social media users are the fastest growing group of social media users right now are the 50 to 75 age group. Now, my guess is pretty much everybody has a target market somewhere between the ages of 18 and 35 and, you know, 50 and 75. We kind of left that 35 to 40 group out, but they're really in there as well. So all of us have a huge potential today with the social media, just with the sheer numbers and with the increases that we're seeing to make a huge, huge impact in our businesses if we utilize this media properly.
Well, one of the questions I have for you is about Twitter. So many of my clients just frankly don't like Twitter. They love Facebook or they love LinkedIn. And I've noticed that most of my clients have a favorite. It's one or the other, never both. Across the board, most of them detest Twitter. So it's almost like an instinctive aversion to Twitter. So I guess my question to you is, what are some best practices for utilizing Twitter?
You know, I think one of the reasons that people have it, some people have a tendency not to like Twitter as much, is Twitter is a little different in that it's a micro blogging site. So you have 140 characters. Twitter's really more about creating a conversation, right? It's more about the dialogue between two people. And so one of the things with Twitter is you really have to be a little more on top of Twitter as far as, you know, continuing a conversation with somebody. So that's the first thing that I would say to you is that on Twitter, you want to engage people. So if you see somebody, so like for example, one of the strategies that I use specifically for Twitter is that I'll go on, I have some favorites marked, and we'll talk about who we should be targeting and that kind of thing as we move along today. But I have some favorites marked on Twitter because they're people who I want to follow closely. So they're mentors and people of influence who I would like to be associated with, and I would like their people to begin to know my name. And so at least a couple of times a week, I go in and try to find a post that those people have put out that I comment on, that I retweet. In other words, I copy it. For lack of a, you know, for simplistic terms, I copy it and send it out to my followers kind of thing. As you begin to create dialogue with people a little bit more intently on Twitter, you'll find that those are some of the strategies that work well on Twitter. I think one of the reasons that people have a tendency to like Facebook a little better sometimes is they feel like it's a little more personal and they know a little bit more about people and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I think people feel more connected on Facebook sometimes than they do on Twitter just because of the differences in the two platforms.
Right. Well, I admit I've had some of the same aversion to Twitter. Getting the right man. But for the most part, it's not just I kind of get where my clients are coming from. It's unless you know what the best practices are and how to really get in there and work with it, it can be a little bit daunting and not much fun.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like anything. You know, you know, when you first rode a bike, it wasn't much fun because you ended up on your butt most of the time, right? And you got gravel scrapes and concrete and all of that. And so it's really a matter of, you know, figuring out either on your own or by getting some education from somebody who's already figured it out, which I think is a smarter way to do it, you know, how to work those platforms so that they work and that they're profitable for you.
Right. Now, Diane, what do you think about tweet chats?
You know, let me tell you what my big bias is with social media is I believe, and I've proven this because I'm doing it, you could spend all day on social media if you wanted to, right, and engaging and doing all these things. I personally think that you can spend 30 minutes a day. I don't think it. I know it because I'm doing it, and I have multiple Twitter, multiple Facebook accounts. I'm spending about 30 minutes a day, and I'm making six figures every year. I don't think you have to spend so much time and get so involved and doing a lot of those, what I call sort of the micro things. I think you can still take a big picture approach and make this work for yourself.
I agree. If you do that all day long, and it's easy to get caught up in it. At the end of the day, you go to bed and watch a gif, what in the heck you got done that day?
Yeah, you know, you sit down at your computer, the first thing you do is go check on your social media, and, you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. Pretty soon you look up, you think, wow, I'm hungry, and it's noon, you know?
Right.
Not a really good use of your time, probably.
No, it's not. So are you saying that automating a lot of this is really the best approach?
Well, I believe that there are ways to automate and tools that you can use. I don't believe that you automate things to the point that you're not in there every day checking and doing the personal stuff. Because remember, this is social media. This is relationship marketing. So 80% of everything that you're doing should really be personal, letting people sort of know, like, and trust you kind of thing. Because we don't do business with businesses. We do businesses with people. And we do business with people we know, like, and trust. And you have to build that know, like, and trust factor, especially on social media, because people don't know you. It's not like they're sitting at a live event where, you know, they can see you. They've, you know, a lot of these people, this is new, and they're a little skeptical. So this know, like, and trust factor is so important with social media. So I'm not a big advocate necessarily of, you know, automating per se. I am a big advocate, though, of utilizing some of the tools that are available to us so that we can put the same post on multiple things. I think automation is good for certain things, but just like any other media and any other marketing that you're doing, there is some strategy behind this. There is some strategic things that you have to do. So if you're so into it that you think, oh, I'm just gonna have somebody else do this and I'm just gonna automate these posts, I'm gonna go in once a month and line posts up for the next 30 days. Not really going to be an effective way for you to make money with social media.
I agree with you. I was writing a post this morning largely about the know, like, and trust factor, because social media does really give us that opportunity to let people know who we are as a business person and an entrepreneur. You know, our business is our business, but it also has a personality because our business is us.
Yeah,
and I think a lot of people don't let that shine through.
Exactly, and you know, it's an interesting conversation, because when we start to talk about, you know, we do a lot of social media management where we actually do the posts and manage people's platforms for them. And one of the questions that people always ask before we get started with them is, well, gee, Diane, you know, if this is a personal thing and this is about the relationship, aren't I losing that if I have you do this for me? And my response is always the same. Absolutely not. It's still your information. It's still about you. So, you know, you don't really think that Michael Dell is posting for himself on his accounts. You don't really think the owner of Best Buy is posting for himself. However, you do have to do some personal stuff, right? Even though this is about business, because it is social, people want to know you. They don't want to know everything about your business. They want to know, you know, do you have kids? Are you married? Right. Do you where are you traveling to? Do you have animals? You know, where do you live? What do you do for fun? And so people always say, a lot of times people will say to me, well, Diane, I don't want to tell people that stuff. I don't want them to know what's going on in my personal life. And my response is, that's fine, but just know that this won't work as well for you if people don't feel like they have that connection. So the key, and what I always tell people is this, tell things that are personal but not private, right? So
exactly. And personal and personable, but not intimate. Keep that stuff off of your Facebook wall.
Exactly. And so let me give you an example, right? We spent 3 weeks in Vermont over the Christmas holiday. Well, I didn't really want people to know that I wasn't in my house in Florida for that long of a time. People have security concerns, right, which is valid.
Yeah.
So what I tend to do when we travel and we're going to be gone for a long period of time, you know, what I tend to do is I talk about it after the fact. So during that three-week time period, I was talking about the holidays and talking about having fun and doing things and all that. Then when I came back, I posted the pictures of the house in Vermont and the snow and the things that we did so that, so it's personal because we have a home there and we spent 3 weeks there and, you know, we've shared some of our stories. We got stuck on a mountain and overnight and, we ended up having food poisoning.
Oh.
Yeah, we shared all that after the fact, right? Those are personal things, but there's nothing private about that. You know, everybody, you know how many people have had food poisoning in their life? You know how many people love the pictures of the house with the snow on it? People love all that. So, you know,
they do.
just let people in. I mean, you know, again, share what you're comfortable sharing. But and if you're one of these people who's very private, then start off slow. And you don't have to show pictures of your kids. You don't just do what's comfortable for you.
Well, I mean, I know the pet industry is a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry. Some of the most commented-on photos on Facebook I find here are those of people's pets.
Oh, people love it. People love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get more.
It's an easy way to let people know that, you know, who a little bit of who you are.
Yeah.
You know, my pets are like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah, you know, I mean.
Put on a cat picture.
Yeah, and people love their animals, and so it now makes you more relatable, right? People know we have four dogs. I mean, they might think we're crazy, but dog lovers love the fact that we have four dogs, and I post pictures of the dogs. You know, cat people, you know, they all sort of congregate together. It's all about, see, this is how the social part of this works, because the more you have in common with people, the more people feel like they know you, the more they feel like they have in common with you, the more they're going to listen to you about these other things. Just because you both have dogs, just because you both have the same breed of dog, you know, just because you live in the same area. Think about, you know, when you talk about you're an alumni of XYZ college or university, right? People go, oh, I like this person now because they went to the University of Tennessee with me, or they went whatever. Well, it might be silly, but it makes you more relatable. And that's really what this is all about to start with. And then we move to the business thing. I often tell people, you know, if you think about this like a party, you know, so imagine that you're invited over by a friend to someone else's home for a cocktail party or a pool party or whatever, right? So you don't know the people, but your friends do. Well, the first thing that you say when you walk in the door isn't, hi, my name's Diane Conklin. I have a marketing company. Do you want to do business with me? Right? But
if
people,
you do, you're going to be banned.
Right. They shove you out the front door. We don't. We walk in and we say, hello, it's very nice to meet you. You have a lovely home here. How long have you lived in the neighborhood? Do you have children? What do you do for a living? What does your husband do? Oh, my goodness, I see did you make this spread of food or did you have this cater? We have these conversations. We do this dance, right? Then maybe later, if it comes up, we talk about business. Social media is no different than that. No different than that.
Well,
so don't.
What I find is that people who instantly go in and they're trying to just tell you about their business, and you're dry, you know, very kind, just boring, don't get it. I get that new star creepy feeling. It's like, I don't know anything about you. I don't want to be sold to. Nobody wants to be sold to.
Right.
But marketing and selling are two different things. And my observation is that a lot of people just simply don't know the difference.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great point. People don't want to be sold to. People want to buy. You know, so give people an opportunity to buy by showing them how good you are, by giving them great free content. Because what happens is, look, first of all, it's important to understand social media is not something that you're going to go out tomorrow and make six figures at. It's a process. It's a longer-term thing because just like with any other media today, you have to build the relationship. So if you were to go out and do a direct mail campaign to people who don't know you, you have to opt them in, then you have to build the relationship, and then over time they're going to buy things from you. Social media is exactly the same way. So when you come at people, it's sort of like, you know, when you open your inbox on Facebook and somebody is giving you like this marriage proposal, right? I'm like, I don't even know you. And, you know, why do I want to be friends with you? Now you know, it's obnoxious and it's repelling.
Yes.
So the thing to remember is that this is all about drawing people to you, pulling people to you with your authenticness, with you just being you, being who you are, and giving them great stuff. And over time, you will build a relationship. You'll build what I call stickiness with your people. You'll have a lot of people commenting on what you're doing. You'll have people go get your stuff, go read your blogs, go opt in for your free offers, and then, you know, come to your events and buy your products and invest in your coaching services, or, you know, come to your sandwich shop or your, you know, your call you to come clean their carpet or whatever kind of business you have.
Exactly. Now, let's get back to Facebook really quickly, because I see a lot of pages. I know this happens to you, too. You get invitations every day, please, you know, can I be your friend on Facebook? And I always go, look, you know, do you think so that you're going to see if you could fit, or is there a bunch of Farmville and, you know, all those mafia wars? If the page is cluttered with that stuff, I have to be honest with you, I'm not going to play.
Yeah, you know, it's an interesting thing. When I first started, you know, I didn't know what I know now, and I pretty much accepted pretty much anybody because, you know, I have a lot of competitive nature in me, right? So my thing was the winner is the person who gets the 5,000 the fastest, right? Well, that's absolutely not true, right? You want people you want people, especially on Facebook. Now, I have a different philosophy on Twitter about this, but on Facebook, because you do on your personal profile have a limit of 5,000 people that you can friend, you want to be relatively selective on who those people are, and you want to have affinity, and you want to make sure that they're people who have an interest or that are, you know, business related and that kind of thing. You know, I'm the same way. I'm not playing. I've blocked all those games. I've blocked all that stuff. That's not what I'm there for. If that's what you're there for, I say knock yourself out. Go on there and have fun and play games and do that. Mm-hmm. I'm there, and I think most of your listeners are probably there to make money utilizing this as a media. And so you have to remember that because you are limited on Facebook to that 5,000 number, which sounds like a lot, and it is, but you'll be surprised how quickly you get to that number. You want to be relatively selective, obviously without, you know, spending, again, hours and hours of time on that. And one of the ways that I do that, and that we have a lot of our clients have a lot of success with that, is if you look at the number of people you have in common will tell you a lot. So if somebody asks to be your friend and you have two friends in common, it could be that they're new to Facebook, but more than likely it's probably that they may not be the match that you're looking for. If you look at somebody and you've got 1,000 friends and you've got 450 of them in common, pretty good indication that this is somebody who's kind of in your arena, who has an interest in, or who maybe is even a what I call a potential JV partner that kind of thing, you know, somebody who's doing business similar to what you are. So, and there's a lot of that happens on the social networking. Just to back up for a minute, because I don't want to leave the Twitter thing hanging out there, I have a different philosophy about the friend thing and follower thing on Twitter, because you don't have the limits on Twitter. And so I actually, one of the things that I utilize is an auto follow back on Twitter. If somebody friends me, it just automatically follows them back. Now, do you occasionally get somebody you don't want? Yeah, you do. But you just unfollow them at that point, or block them, or whatever you want to do. So because you don't have those,
you find out they're cursing all over the place.
Yeah, or you know, you look at their profile picture, and you know it's some obscene thing or whatever. Then you can go back and correct that. Much easier on Twitter.
Well, one thing about Facebook, and this is something that I utilize every day, because like you, in the very beginning, I just accepted everybody. You know, 5,000. Woohoo! I want to get there quick. But what I do now is every day I log in and I look at the birthdays. And I go, click on that person's name. I just unfriend. And I've got myself down from almost 5,000. Over a period of time, I've unfriended about 1,000 people. That frees up room for people that I can work with and that I can network with and that I have similar interests with. So that's a pretty good tool. You're not hurting my feelings. Or just say, well, you know, this is probably not a good fit, and go on to something else.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because people will say to me, well, gosh, I don't want to unfriend somebody. I don't want to hurt their feelings. It's like, look, if they've got more than 100 friends, they're not going to know anyway, unless it's somebody that you personally know who you unfriend, and you know, somebody that you're talking to. I had this happen to me not too long ago. It was a little college friend of mine that I actually reconnected with on Facebook, and all of a sudden she unfriended me. I sent her an email, and she's like, well, you know, Diane, you're doing all that business stuff on there, and I don't want to hear about your business. And I was like, okay, you know, whatever. It was actually kind of funny, but yeah, nobody's going to know. I mean, if you've got more than 1,000 friends, you don't know them. And, you know, mine fluctuates every few days. You know, it's 5,000, then it's 5,004, then it's 4,998, and then it's, you know, it fluctuates up and down. So, yeah, it's definitely a good strategy.
Yeah, I just started cleaning it out about a year ago, and I'm, you know, brutal about it. These are my criteria. You either meet them or you don't. But listen, what are some of the benefits to us as online entrepreneurs? I mean, we've covered a lot of them. Is there anything that we've missed?
Well, you know, there's a lot of just huge benefits for us to be utilizing social media. First of all, we've talked a lot about this. It's an opportunity for you to build and strengthen relationships, not only with your current clients, but also with prospects. And I think that's really something to remember is that there are prospects out there, people who are looking every day for, you know, business opportunities, for services, for products, for coaching, for whatever the thing is. And so what I like about it from this perspective is that it gives you one more touch with your current clients. If you're already sending a weekly tip or a weekly easing kind of thing, and you're doing other types of media with them, this gives you another media that you can touch them with pretty much every day. And let's face it, most people don't want an email from you every day, but they might want to interact with you on Facebook every day or on Twitter. So it's a great way to strengthen those relationships. Another benefit is, and this is something that you don't hear a lot of people talk about, but how we consume content in today's world is so much different than how we consumed content even a year ago, right? And so it's so much easier now for us to reach out and share this information and to reach potential clients and prospects. So that's a big benefit of social media. I talked earlier about this whole idea of positioning yourself as an authority in your field. Huge benefit to using social media. Another big thing that people, again, don't talk a lot about is social media is a huge business driver for traffic, not only to your social media platforms, but to your website and to your other online properties, your blogs and other things that you might have. So from a traffic perspective, it's a huge benefit. And we talked about this a little bit as well earlier, the opportunity to get found on the search engines. Referrals and recommendations are the other two things, though. I mean, I can't tell you how many people have referred us our services for event planning, our direct mail services, all the different things that we do. How many people have come to me on social media and said, you know, I want to work with you. So referrals and recommendations are a big deal. Of course, LinkedIn has the formal recommendation system, which is really cool. You can ask people to recommend you, and then you can recommend them back, which is nice. And then finally, I think one of the big benefits is nothing draws a crowd like a crowd, right? This is where people are, and I told you early in the call when we first started with some of the interesting facts, how big this is getting and how much this is growing. I mean, I think the last stat I read was that if Facebook was a country, it would be the third largest country in the world, something like that. So this is where people are, and it's where people are going to continue to be. And so from all of those things that I just talked about, the benefits are just so incredibly huge to be utilizing social media in your business today that I just really think there's not any business out there, not anybody that shouldn't be utilizing this media.
Well, you know, I've had people say to me, well, you know, I'm a brick-and-mortar business. Why do I need that? And this was as early as, say, a year, year and a half ago. And then all of a sudden, brick-and-mortar businesses start popping up the, you know, Facebook card. They've got a Facebook page, and you know, they've got a Twitter page. I think even as early as 2 years ago, that was not the norm, but there they are.
Well, and you know, how smart is it? I mean, think about this. If you have a brick-and-mortar store, the strategies are different. because you're a local business, right? But there are definitely ways you can go out and find people in your local area with some of the tools and things that are available today. But here's the amazing thing. Let's just say we have a client right down the street from us that is a spa, and they do haircuts and massage and things that I can't even pronounce, so let alone know what they are, right? But the point is...
I just cut my hair. I have to go.
Yeah, just cut my hair. Let me go. But here's the thing. Let's just say that they're an appointment business. And this isn't applicable to everybody, but it is if you think outside the box here. Let's say that I have an appointment today at 1 o'clock, and I forgot I was doing this interview, and at 9 o'clock this morning I called and said, oh, my gosh, I can't make my 1 o'clock haircut. I need to reschedule, right? So somebody has an opening now at 1 o'clock. So you go to Twitter, you go to LinkedIn, you go to Facebook. LinkedIn probably isn't a good platform to do this, but Facebook and Twitter are, and you put a message out that says, opening at 1 p.m. for hairstylist Linda, 20% off all services. Call, blah, blah, blah.
I knew I was going to learn something new today.
Right?
I knew I was going to learn something new today. You just taught me something new.
Well.
That had never occurred to me. That is brilliant.
And so people will say to me, well, Diane, why do I want to give people 20% off? Well, some money's better than no money. And if it's a new client, you just got a new client. What's a new client worth to you? Here's another one. If you own a pizza's place or a sandwich shop or a dry cleaner, you know, put a coupon out. 20% off your services, anything brought in through Friday this week. Or we're having a lunch special today. Free drink for anybody who brings this in from, you know, the little coupon on Facebook or Twitter or the post or whatever it is. So think outside the box. There are so many amazing strategies for your local businesses if you have a brick and mortar that you should be utilizing with Facebook and Twitter that, I mean, we could talk a whole nother hour just about that.
We may have to. I'm going to get you to come back so we can talk another hour about
okay.
that. If you don't mind, I'd love
no,
to.
No, I would love it.
Soon.
Sure. I would love to.
I have a lot of they are out there, they're big, they've got these, you know, multiple facilities, and they're, you know, they're training people, they're going online with their businesses. And I'm telling you, some of the strategies that we're putting in place for brick and mortar businesses, just kind of like what you're talking about now, has done some remarkable work for these people. Excuse me. I was looking a year or so ago for a fitness a trainer. You know, I sit all the time. My back hurts a lot. And, you know, I have a gym membership. Did I utilize it? Not really. But I figured if I was paying somebody to kick my butt, I would go in and go get a kick.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on a hunt for a fitness trainer. And they gave me a couple of different phone numbers. Well, I was talking with the girl who eventually became my trainer, and I said, look, I had the hardest time finding you. We need to get you on Facebook, on Twitter, and build your website. So, you know, as a Christmas gift, instead of giving her a bonus, I built her website. She said, you know, she had a history.
Yeah, you know, it's a great point, Denise, and here's the thing. I always say to people, Facebook and Twitter, in a lot of ways, are today's Yellow Pages, right?
They're business builders, absolutely.
Yeah. But people are going there to find stuff. So somebody
well,
the other day...
Who uses the Yellow Pages anymore? I haven't picked up a phone book in 2 years.
Yeah, so you want information on something. You want to know what a great restaurant is in Dallas, Texas, because I'm traveling. Nobody's going to go online and look. They're going to go to Facebook and Twitter and ask the question. Because you're going to have friends and people that you know who live in that area. You're going to have somebody who's traveled there. Not too long ago, there was a problem with I use BlackBerry, and there was a problem with the RIM, which is BlackBerry, the internet service, right? Well, I didn't go to AT&T. I didn't go to BlackBerry. I went on Twitter in the search box and typed in BlackBerry or RIM, and up came hundreds and thousands of posts about what the problem was. So...
Mm-hmm.
if you live in a particular area and you want to know about a service, that's where people are going to find things out now. So one of the things mm-hmm. that, too, that people do before they go to a new business is they go see if they have a Facebook fan page or if they're on Twitter. And many times, if they're not, whether right, wrong, or indifferent, this is how people think in today's world. The thought is, well, is this even a real business? Right? I mean, they're
well,
not
yeah.
on Facebook or Twitter.
Up?
Yeah.
Right.
Are they
keeping up with technology? Do they even care?
Exactly.
Absolutely. And like I said, a year or two ago, nobody would have thought to do this.
Yeah,
local brick-and-mortar businesses have to get on that bandwagon. They have to.
And even professionals, you know, I find that a lot of the professionals, the dentists, lawyers, those kinds of people are saying, well, that's, you know, it's not really for me. I'm not going to get business there. Even if you think, which is probably not accurate if you have the right strategies, but even if you think that you're not going to get business from Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and those are really kind of what I call the big three. There are other platforms out there, and I'm not trying to belittle those or not talk about those, but you know, for our purposes, probably the big ones are the ones that we should stick with. Even if you believe that, and even if it were true, you really should still have a presence there so that people can find you if they want to see you. Now, here's my caveat to that. If you have a presence there, then keep it active, because it really looks worse if somebody goes to your Twitter page or your Facebook page or goes to your LinkedIn page and you haven't been on it in a year and a half, which happens all the time. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think what a lot of local businesses like dentists and, you know, optometrists, you know, people who are service providers, I think that they rely on, you know, there's the little pages, you know, like the little review pages that you'll see, you know, all over the internet. It's like, is this your page? Log in to update your information, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, people will kind of... But it will not give your business a good, overwhelming sense of how well you're doing. So if you go on Facebook and you create that fan page or you create that business page, and local business, you know, local people who actually frequent your business are saying, look, my dentist is the best. I went to the dentist yesterday morning and said, call. I'm going to tell you. Facility. They had a massage chair and a flat screen television. The dentist sat there with me for a half hour, explained exactly what the procedure was going to be, what the cost was going to be, asked me if I had any concerns, asked if I needed to be sedated. This is a fairly new experience for me in a dentist's office. If you have to vent me, I don't know. Are you there? It looks like we lost people. Hello? I don't know what's going on. Well, it looks like we might have lost Diana.
No, I'm here.
Are you there?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I was just chatting away.
Yeah, and I'm having some problems hearing you for some reason. It's breaking up a little bit. I think that's a great point, Denise. Here, and, you know, it's interesting. So if you now go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever and talk about that experience and you tag that person so that,
mm-hmm.
you know, their business is recognized, first of all, the dentist is going to love you, right? Second of all, people who live in your area, see, here's the power of social media that people don't understand. Let's just say that you have 100 people in your local area that you're friends with. So you go make this comment about this great dentist. Well, let's say not all of those people are going to see it, but let's say 50 of those people saw it. Let's say 20 of those people
mm-hmm.
saw it. One of them happens to be looking for a dentist. The guy just got a new client. It's a referral, right? From you. That he didn't even have to pay for because he's on social media.
That's exactly right. And that's the power of it. You get people who just really are entranced with your services, who are appreciative of your services and don't mind saying so. That's the best possible return for more time that you can get.
Yeah, and you know, here's the other thing. Here's the other really powerful thing that people don't think about. So you put that post out, and you only have 100 people on your list that live in that local area, right? But you've got another 100 people that don't live in that local area. But somebody who you're friends with does know somebody else who lives close to you, and they comment about it. That person also sees that because, now mind you, you don't even know this person, but because they're friends with the other person, they also see this conversation going on. So, you know, we used to say there were 6 degrees of separation. Now there's like 2. Because
I know.
That's the power of social media, is that this person who you don't even know now is going to see this about this dentist or about your business, or pick, it doesn't matter what the topic is, just take the example. They're now going to see this because you made that comment. So, and you're not in this case, you're not benefiting yourself. You're benefiting somebody that who's a dentist that you like.
Right. And you raised a point earlier, you know, where people will come to you and say, listen, I want to work with you because they've been following me on social media. They're aware of you on Twitter or LinkedIn. I have had that same exact experience time and time again. I'll get a phone call or an email from somebody who says, look, can we talk? And I'll call them and say, that is really great. Who is so-and-so? I never met this person. It happens all the time. And then I will go on Facebook, contact the person who referred me, who is not in my friend group or is not even connected with me directly, and connect with them and tell them, thank you, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing when you think about the reach. I mean, I had somebody who heard me speak 6 months ago and referred somebody else to me the other day. I got a message on Facebook. So-and-so's heard you speak, and she thinks that you're the exact right person to help me with this marketing challenge that they were having, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know this person from Adam. And I could, quite honestly, and I probably shouldn't say this because people are listening, but I didn't remember the person who referred me. I mean, you know, you're in a group, you're in a room of 200 people. You can't remember everybody, right? But, I mean, what a great compliment that is, right? But it's so easy now, you know, for her to have had to have said, oh, geez, I don't know how to find Diane. I don't remember her company name. I don't have a phone number. I don't have an email, whatever. People just say, well, go look her up on Facebook. Go look her up on Twitter. She's there, and just send her a message. How cool is that?
It happens all the time. Yeah. It is very cool. But here's the thing. And this is kind of my pet gripe, but I want to ask your opinion about it. I come across people who are professionals, and in one case it was I'm in two industries. One is web development, the other is research assistance. And I came across this one, I'm not going to say which industry, and this one down consistently blocked her. I couldn't stand to listen to see or see what she was saying. And what do you tell people about that? If you're in a bad mood, keep it off of Facebook.
Yeah,
if you have a bad personality, keep it off of Facebook.
Well, you know, I think in some ways you gotta be who you are, right? I mean, I think if you try to be one thing and you really are something else, the people are going to see through that. But, you know, we all have a bad day, and we all have, you know, things happen in our lives. And, again, I think part of it goes back to the personal versus private thing. But I think the bigger issue is it's how you do it, right? So I think it almost endears people to you when you say, gosh, you know, I had a struggle or a challenge today with X, Y, and Z, or, you know, this just happened or whatever. However, I don't think that you go on and you know, use curse words and you know, are ugly and show out, if you will. So I think I think if you do it the right way, like I said, I think it endears people to you because they go, oh, my gosh. See, they think of
she's
you're
human.
On a – yeah, exactly. See, you're on a pedestal to them. You're the guru to them, right? Your life seems perfect. You don't ever make a mistake. You're, you know, you're Denise, you're Diane, you're, you know, Dan, you're whoever. That's what they think, and in some ways that makes you less relatable. So when you go on and say, oh, my goodness, I had this challenge today. This is how I handled it. Or did anybody have – sometimes you ask a question. Anybody have any experience with?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people – and I've said this time and time again, and I'll tell anybody who will listen. People genuinely want to help. If that's really asking for, you know, just a question about social media, a question about how do you work in an Excel spreadsheet, or just advice on something, you will get it. You'll get a ton of it, and it's all welcome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no better question in the world to ask somebody than, can you help me?
Because exactly.
People say yes. Yeah.
Just look at that human thing. You know, I was for a long time very private about, because I'm just an intensely private person. That's who I am. And it took, look, it's been a process for me to kind of open up on Facebook. And yesterday I was chatting with one of my friends, Judy Peebles, the internet genius, and she had to tumble on Saturday while she was with Edmund and Johnson. Out of my needle, I put that on Facebook, and I got more responses. It was the craziest thing. You know, I said, well, I'm okay. I medicated my boo-boo with fried shrimp and fried mushrooms. I'm fine. And people started hooting it off. It was medication, and then I got other medication suggestions. Somebody said, well, try this Pinot Grigio, and somebody else said, try this. You know, it's just a conversation. We had a real good time. What? No. But I did, so you might as well admit to it and have fun with it.
Yeah, and the more, you know, it's all about just being authentic and real. And I'll tell you this. The more I'm me, the more me I put out there, the more people are attracted to me. And I think that's true for everybody. We all have these misgivings and these, you know, these fears inside of us that say, oh, geez, if I put myself out there, if I let them see, you know, my wart, if I let them see that, you know, my hair's not perfect today, you know, that they'll think less of me. Well, in fact, the opposite happens because it really makes you more relatable. And they say, wow, look what you shared. Mm-hmm. If you can share that, I can do this.
Well, and that's exactly right. And I think what is happening is that we're finally shifting away from that corporate mindset, which is hold everything to your chest, building the perfect box, make sure that your tie is in place, maybe your pennies are not wearing mismatched socks. You know, everything has to be just so. Everything is appearance. Yeah. And I think that as social media evolves, we're understanding that we can't put, you know, that kind of pokered up, laced up persona out there and expect it to work for us. We have to show our human side. We have to show that we're pet lovers, or we, you know, build snowmen, or, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. But today, you know, I was going to make gumbo. I'm making crawfish etouffee instead. The world knows that now because I put it on Facebook. You know, but I'm also working. I'm also talking with you. I'm building websites. I'm doing social, you know, working with my clients. And I'm cooking all at the same time. People tend to, I think they appreciate knowing that. If they're going to work with you or follow you or model their success after you, they need to know that there's a human in there.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm just missing the boat.
Well, you know, again, I mean, you know, people, when you get into a position of leadership and you get into a position where people think of you as an expert and a guru, and, you know, their words, not necessarily mine, but again, the more real you are, the more authentic you are. And think about the fact, too, that, you know, there are many sides of you. You're not just a business person. Maybe you're a mom. You know, you're a pet owner. You know, you love to travel. You're an alumni. You're a daughter. You're a whatever. All of those things make you more and more relatable. You know, so if you always show up with you know, diamonds on and perfectly dressed and all of that, pretty soon people go, God, I thought you had two kids. You know, you can't dress. You're not real. You know, you're not real. You can't dress like that and deal with two kids or whatever it is. You know, people don't mind that you have a little Dunlop over your belt when you show them the picture in the bathing suit. You're more concerned about you than they are.
Right. Well, Diane, where can people find you on the web?
What I'd like to do for your listeners, we have actually an ebook that we have created called How to Get Social Media Working in Your Business Today. And I'd like to offer that complimentary to anybody who would like it. And they can pick that up at www.socialnetworkleadssystem.com. That's socialnetworkleadssystem.com, which is plural, system.com. Or our main website, which is a little more inclusive of a lot of the things that we do. And that's just completemarketingsystems.com. So either one of those.
Great. Well, listen, I'm going to send you a note and ask you to come back and talk more exhaustively about Twitter at another date. And thank you so much for being here with us today. I actually learned a good bit from you today, and I love learning something new. So one more time, can you tell people where to find you, and then we'll say goodbye?
Sure. And again, I just want to thank you and your listeners. This was a great pleasure, and I look forward to chatting with you guys again. The ebook, How to Get Social Media Working in Your Business Today, is at socialnetworkleadssystem.com, or the main website is www.completemarketingsystems, either one.
Thanks. Well, listen, this is Denise Griffiths, and I'm here with Diane Conklin, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next weekend, or next Friday, actually. Thanks, Diane, and I'll give you a call after a bit.
Great. Take care.
Have a good day. Bye.